We've heard about Irish dancing at home, but what happened when it went abroad? Did it thrive, or was it abandoned in the newly adopted homes of the Irish emigrants? Rona Tarrant brings us this report from New York.
We're standing on the corner of Baxter Street and Grand Street.
In Manhattan's Chinatown, Larry Kerwin is giving me some perspective on exactly where we are.
And if you were to face down south into Chinatown, this was one of the streets that ran into the Five Points.
In 2014, this is still an immigrant neighbourhood, just like it was in the 1800s. The only difference is that now when you look around, you'll see things like colourful souvenir shops. But back then...
Oh, you've seen a lot of brothels, a lot of bars, saloon.
This was the Five Points, New York's filthiest, poorest, most crime-ridden neighbourhood. But it was also where music and dance flourished.
Irish people were playing fiddles in the bands and African Americans were playing percussion and banjos.
It was a melting pot of culture and Irish dance was at the heart of it.
When the Irish came here, there was a dance craze in the country. So everybody had steps, everybody danced.
To really understand Irish dance in the States, you'd have to look here, but it wasn't necessarily where it started.
You could trace Irish dancing at least to the 1700s.
That's April Mastin of Stony Brook University.
By the 1790s, jig dancing is considered an American dance form.
The Irish had mixed their free-flowing dance into an emergent American culture.
The arms are usually out to the sides, but they're sometimes held down by the sides, but always relaxed.
It was mixed with African steps and performed in saloons and on stage as a type of sport, with champion dancers challenging each other all over the country. The most famous was Master Juba.
But those champion steps, he was usually performing opposite a woman. And so the two of them were competing, and then if he would win, he would, you know, jump on the bar and call for a drink.
Eventually, one strand of Irish and African steps became something known as tap. But by the early 1900s, society changed and the Irish had stopped mixing so freely with African Americans. This brought a new era of Irish dance.
At one point, there were close to 76 dance halls in Manhattan alone.
That's Mick Maloney of NYU.
In the dance halls, there would have been a collision between the old form of set dancing, which people would have brought them from Ireland, and the newly created dance forms of the Gaelic League.
And while traditional music lay dormant in Ireland, the dance halls thrived in the States. They played jigs and reels mixed with some modern dances.
Like the foxtrot, the waltz, the one-step, the two-step.
New immigrants would be brought on stage and introduced to their new community. It was central to both a new and old identity.
The dance hall represented a bridge between Ireland and America. You retained your Irishness by going to an Irish dance hall. But you asserted your Americanness and being able to choose your life's partner on your own without the interference of your parents. This was a revolutionary change, and it happened in the dance hall.
And while the dance hall might have seemed old-fashioned back home, the immigrants continued a culture of music and dance for a new generation of Irish Americans.
They had a very positive attitude to Ireland, and they wanted their children to grow up with a sense of Irishness. They danced and they played music, and they encouraged their children to do the same thing.